pulling back the curtain of silence
and learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Seen, Brown-Eyed Activism.
Healing at the intersections. So, I'm Black.
I am not Black.
Why is that important for this conversation? I mean, today we're talking about hip-hop.
Yes.
And I don't know, you were the one who was like, I think it's important for us to start off with a...
Yeah.
Let's just make sure people understand, like, Nick is Black, Lala, and you're not.
Yeah. We have something in common, which is that we both love hip-hop, but it's a very key difference that you love hip-hop as a Black person, as a person who is part of the culture, part of who it's for.
Yeah, I think, and I want to thank you for that, because I think it affirms for me that you understand that hip hop comes from a time and a place and a people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think hip hop is such like a global phenomenon, and we'll get into that later, but like it can become so disassociated from the people and the culture. And I think when we're not mindful of connecting the people with the music, we can run the slippery slope of appropriating or finding a false sense of identity within a piece of art that maybe is like not it's not necessarily for or made with the intention of everybody's perspectives in mind, and it comes from a specific place and time.
Yeah, and I think when we don't understand the context and we don't understand the fullness of the culture, what we end up doing is often engaging with it in a way that is really harmful.
Yeah.
It's very easy to engage in anti-Blackness while trying to engage with hip-hop if you're not really strongly grounded in who you are, what your position is, what your relationship is to the culture and the people who are creating the culture and all of the context of the culture itself.
Yeah, and I don't want anyone to think that I don't want like the world to love hip-hop music and love Black music, but I think that the first step requires non-Black people to realize and understand where they are in relation to hip-hop, like you were saying. And, you know, hip-hop is like a really beautiful gift that Black Americans specifically have given the world.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. It seeps into our culture. It becomes pop culture, and I love that.
Yeah.
But what I don't love is when the people who create this art and the communities from which this art comes from become alienated from their own cultural art form, you know?
Yeah, and when people are harmful, when people claim to love hip-hop,
but they don't love Black people.
Yeah, and that's really violent.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to share a little bit about, like, we're going to talk about hip-hop all day long, with like we always do, so this is just a condensed short-form version of it, but like, my journey to loving hip-hop is so different from yours, which is, like, interesting because, like, I'm Black and you're a brown person and you've, like, listened to hip-hop. You always talk about, like, I listened to this. I remember when I got this album from Jay-Z and when I was this age. And I'm like, you know, I've largely grown into this sense and this security of pro-Blackness in my adult life.
Right.
But I was raised very much in the church. Like, I went to church since I was, like, I don't know, six. And all the way up until, like, I was 19, I was in Christian school. I was, you know, in choirs. I was on worship teams. I played guitar and I would songwrite. Like, I made music. But my relationship to music was always in relation to, like, spirituality. Well, religion specifically, like Christianity.
Yeah. So were you aware of hip hop? Like, did you know any of it? Or, like, what was your...
Okay. So I'm pretty sure that the first time that I realized that hip hop was real was when I watched Sister Act 2.
Okay.
And just the, like, seeing Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
And seeing, like, the cross colors. And it's like, this movie came out in, like, 96, 94. I can't remember when it was. But, like, seeing that was my first, like, oh, hip hop is something that can be really cool. And the representation of hip-hop that was in that movie was positive, right? Like, it wasn't something that was like chain sagging and this and that or whatever. And I think I grew up having parents, my dad specifically, that was had a particular type of anti-Blackness towards, like, Black Americans,
right,
in a specific way that was, like, you know, how, like, you know, pant sagging, like, that's not a way to dress, like, you know, speak articulately and be this and be that. And I think so many Black people really truly, like, inhabit that and believe that and think that, like, respectability comes from, like, dressing a certain way and talking a certain way,
right,
because we've been taught by a predominantly white supremacist world, that that's the way that you should be in order for your blackness to be accepted. But yeah, like I grew up listening to like gospel music. I grew up listening to a lot of, interestingly enough, a lot of, I want to say like indie rock. And most of the artists were white men. And so it's interesting looking back at that, because like there was the Christian stuff that I consumed from like age 6 up until maybe, I don't know, 16. And in between there were some pockets of like Destiny's Child and like liking, like understanding that there was black music out there. And it wasn't so much that my parents didn't let us listen to secular music, because that's what they call it.
Right.
But it was just that like I didn't understand how I felt in relation to how I felt about it in relation to me. So I would listen to like Maroon 5 is like the thing for the longest time. Oh. And it's so fascinating, so because But I would watch these music videos and like I would really, similar to my earlier story from another episode where I talk about like wanting to be seen as like a white woman, I would find all these representations of beauty in these music videos. Mm. And it just really reaffirmed my sense of hating myself. Mm. And so it's no wonder that like when I moved out of going to church and being like a practicing Christian, that like I dropped all things related to my affinity to music and loving music, because it was so entrenched in like not feeling good about myself. And songwriting for me was like, it wasn't that I wrote songs that I was sharing with the world because I was so proud of them. It was like I would write this in my room because I felt so much disgust with myself, and I felt so unworthy to be like in any relationship with God. Like it was more about like feeling shame. So music for me was always kind of fucked up.
So then when did that change? Like, when did you start to develop a positive relationship with hip hop? When did you start to really get into it and find ways to connect?
I think it was, I kid you not, it was definitely in between slash like throughout undergrad. It wasn't like I've been like raised on hip hop. I can't even say that at all. Like, I don't even think it was in my lexicon or in something that like I would end up using to be a frame of reference to like see the world, you know.
Did it start with a particular artist or album or
Lupe Fiasco probably for some reason? Like I think it was just like a safe rap. Like he's conscious. He's a conscious rapper, so it's like you can put that on with your mom and it's around you, and she's gonna be like, oh, it sounds like okay, whatever.
Right.
It was probably like the first, but it hasn't been until like, kid you not, probably in the past like 5 years is when I've been like, oh yeah, I fucks with hip hop.
Yeah.
And that's because I've been actively trying to find, in some ways, like decolonize my music and like remove representations that don't suit me or don't serve me, which means like I selectively choose to listen to black artists because I want to have my experiences. I want to have representations of beauty that affirm who I am. And you'll find that in hip hop music. I mean, you'll also find other things in hip hop music that might do other, you know, serve other purposes. I've just always, recently I've been feeling this need to surround myself with representations of beautiful black art.
And so what is it specifically about hip hop? So there's lots of black music, and I know you love a lot of different genres too, but what is it specifically about hip hop? What is it do for you, or what is it about it that you really love?
You know what, there's a sense of freedom when I hear an expertly crafted song. Like I'm thinking specifically of Lil Wayne, Flyin'. It's from like the Carter 2, I'm pretty sure. That song, he speaks quickly. I've always spoken fast. So I love writing. I love storytelling. So for me, it's like telling the truth, telling stories, maybe say having a little bit of like braggadocious, you know, embellishing on things, confidence.
Yeah.
Feeling this idea of like perseverance and working hard, that those themes are so, that's where hip hop comes from, is taking care of yourself and your community and want. And I love the hip hop that's like fun and hype, but I've also always loved like Common. I kind of have a little crush on Common. Like, I think he's great. But yeah, it's always, for me, it's been the intelligence, being able to listen to a song, a rap song, and being like, oh, what the, like, you know, when you can listen to a whole song and be like, I listened to it and I understand what they were saying, and I think what they're saying is like hilarious. Because I think oftentimes we'll listen to music and be like, oh, it's fine, you can tune it out. But I love lyrics.
Yes.
And the lyricism in hip hop has always been.
Did you know that, so Nick is a Aquarius sun and Gemini moon, which are both air signs. Did you know that most rappers are air signs?
Really?
Yeah, because it's the more like mental verbal
Gotcha.
Quality.
Be intellectual.
Yes.
What do you love about hip hop? Because I know you were raised, like, you have always, it seems like, loved hip hop, except for that one time you went to Lilith Fair or some shit.
Let's not, don't slander me like this. My mother is white.
Put her on blast.
All right. Her on blast. My favorite person at Lilith Fair was Maya. I just want to say.
I saw Maya.
Really?
I saw Maya.
Isn't she wonderful? She's a great performer.
She came to Vancouver at Fortune Sound Club. I went with Tanit and Sonia. And I met her and I told her she was beautiful. And she said, "You're so beautiful." And I was like,
"Oh my goodness. Amazing."
She's amazing. She's just, yeah.
Yeah.
World class talent.
But yeah, there's so many things that drew me into hip hop. But in the beginning, it was just honestly so much better than anything else to me. So I like really vividly, it was the music I liked the most. It really was.
But what else was like out there on the horizon music wise?
I mean, I was into the Backstreet Boys and Christina Aguilera or whatever that people my age were into. But when it came to like the white rock bands, I just was like, I don't care. Like it was so boring to
me. No Fall Out Boy for you?
No, it was so, and I'm talking before Fall Out Boy. I'm older than you remember. Yeah. I really vividly remember when The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill came out, when Doo-Wop, That Thing was a huge hit, and like Hard Knock Life by Jay-Z. I really vividly remember watching those videos over and over and over and over again and just loving them so much.
What did you love about it?
It was everything. Like with Lauryn, it was, I mean,
who doesn't love Lauryn Hill?
She's just so perfect at her craft. Yeah. It's the vocals, it's the lyrics, it's everything about it. Jay-Z just had a charisma that I really appreciated. Hard Knock Life was really catchy. I remember the video, just him being really cute.
Yeah.
And like, I just loved it. So I always just wanted to listen to those songs and those albums again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I absolutely responded to seeing other people with brown skin, and especially people with brown skin who said what they wanted to say and did what they wanted to do, no matter how outraged white people were by it.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's think about like niggas with attitude and fuck the police, like how hip-hop over time, it looks different now, but like a seminal point in hip-hop history was that song and NWA being targeted by the police and by the state, like by the government essentially, and them being like surveilled and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You know?
And so then the era that I was starting to listen to, so when those first songs that I remember, those first rap songs that I remember coming out that I was into, it was about 98.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been about 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, rap was really starting to become pop music at that point. It wasn't quite there yet, maybe.
Right.
But it was starting to become, and I was in a white family, in a white town, and the media was very white. So I could see very clearly that, you know, white people were very judgmental and outraged by it, but they just didn't care, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of brown kids felt really protected in a way by this culture that seemed to be so able to be unbothered or defiant in the face of stigma and discrimination, because we felt so heavily stigmatized and we didn't know what to do with that.
Right.
So still today, so much of what I love about hip hop is that energy, like you were saying, of speaking the truth and being defiant and knowing your own power.
Yes.
No matter what.
Speaking the truth, knowing your own power, being defiant. And then like seeking and carving out your path to freedom no matter what the cost, I think, is another part. It's a kind of what you're saying about being defiant, but like a step up from that is like that feeling of, or that theme of, I'm gonna be the best version of myself. You think that I'm gonna be on this corner selling dope? Watch me over here. Like, I think and I feel like a lot of the bravado of hip hop and rap it can be violent, but it can also be something that's like, you aspire for so much more for yourself and for your community. And I love that. I don't think I can find that in country music. I don't think I can find that in pop music. Hip hop is something that's so unique because it comes from a people in a place where you're in the barrio somewhere in New York and you're like making like a beat, and that's your music. Like, if that's where your music is coming from, that's going to be music that speaks to like the regular fucking people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then there's so many different sides of it, mm-hmm. like you're saying. And mm-hmm. so there is that, the power and the braggadocio, and there's the care and the like for us, by us spirit of it.
Totally.
And then there's also a lot of vulnerability. So Jay-Z is often talked about as having all of the braggadocio and all of that. But I always loved songs as well, like You Must Love Me, where he talks about how he's hurt people and how devastating that is for him. Or Where Have You Been is a song where he talks about the pain of his father leaving him. Remember the line, "Do you even remember December is my birthday?"
Right.
And the pain of that.
Yeah.
Just the fact that there's so many lyrics. It's all about the lyrics.
Yes.
So many stories to be told.
I wonder if it's all about the lyrics, because in my mind, I'm going to be a hater for a second and talk about how there is this now need for us as Black people who are creating to pander and to change the ways that we want to communicate our messages. And part of that, I think, is in this, I think, foregone ability to write and tell a story in rap music.
Yeah.
Because hip hop has become like pop culture, right? Mm-hmm. It's awesome, and then it's like there's this drop off point where you're like, oh shit, we got too far. But it's like at the same time, we haven't gone too far. I just think we have the opportunity to like better redefine what mission we're on. Are we all on a mission to like uplift the Black experience? Are we on a mission to like make a bop? Because I think all those things can be good things, but I think when our desire to make a bop and to make it sound sexy surpasses like storytelling, I think that's when, in my mind, I'm always so, I want to protect hip hop. Like I want to, yeah. I feel so blessed that I've been able to enter into it and find it for myself and feel a closeness to it. And I'm not saying that I'm like a hip hop expert. I'm not. I just love it. But I'm still grappling with this feeling of like, when I recognize people who say they love hip-hop music, kind of like you were saying, but they don't show a sense of integrity when it comes to respecting the craft of it, I think I kind of lose interest. And so there's a lot of like new artists that I wish that I loved or I wish that I could get into, but I'm like, I don't feel like we're telling stories anymore. I feel like we're trying to create music that white people like, because unfortunately the music that I've always loved is the music that I don't think white people like. That being said, you know, This Is America by Childish Gambino was like a hit, right? Like people were like, wow, this is an amazing song, like the music video is incredible. And that it was a really interesting and I think accurate representation of like what is going on in America. Mm-hmm. But then we have this song that can be this like piece of art, right?
Yeah.
Because the music video is this piece of art. And unfortunately for all of us Black people who are, you know, let's say we're going out, I'm going to tell like a personal story. Mm. Like I was out at a club that usually plays hip hop music, and This Is America came on in a club. Mm. And I think when I was saying having integrity as for non-Black people who enjoy hip hop music, I am very aware of the fact that that DJ doesn't have integrity or doesn't have an understanding or a love or a knowledge of Black people or a care for Black people. Because if you're playing that kind of song in a club and you think that's entertainment in the same way that a Migos song is, they're different, right? Like you have to understand how like the lyrics actually matter and how the people who are close to that culture, because they're Black people, how they feel. And it always makes me a little bit skeptical or a lot skeptical when I see non-Black DJs playing hip-hop music and not having that understanding.
Yeah, I think it gets really dehumanizing.
Yes.
Because I think when people are listening to the music but not understanding the social context that the music is coming from, then they're not connected to the emotional reality of it.
Yeah.
So I've noticed this a lot when I went to when Nas was on his Illmatic tour.
Yeah.
He played a documentary before he performed the album.
Yeah.
And I was so uncomfortable by the, you know, mostly non-Black crowd and the ways that they were interacting with it, because they were talking about very serious traumatic things and people were laughing and treating it as entertainment. I'm like, he's in the building. The person this happened to is here. And you're laughing. You can see that there's this empathy gap.
Totally. And back to the point about like, you're a person with high integrity who loves hip hop and is a non-Black person. Non-Black people need to have integrity when they enjoy Black music, because Black people, I want to say this, like as Black people, we can actually tell when people who are enjoying this music don't care about us. I'll be in a club and there's a song that has N-words and there's people around me who are screaming the N-word. It's like, okay, well, I know that you don't care. It's a very obvious sign.
It's very basic.
It's very basic, you know? And like your love of hip hop doesn't make you any less anti-Black.
Yes.
Like, I want to say that again. Your love of hip hop doesn't make you any less anti-Black. Just because you love hip hop doesn't mean that you love Black people. And I think that those two are inextricably linked. Like those are those come hand in hand.
In some ways, I think loving hip hop can make you more anti-Black. It just gives you more opportunities to do harm.
Totally.
If you're really engaged in the culture, if you're going to the shows, if you're talking about the music and you're doing it in this way that is harmful, that's violent.
Yeah.
You know, using the N-word.
Yeah. And it can allow, I think hip hop is such a welcoming space, right? Yeah. Like, we don't have very high standards sometimes, you know? And so we allow people to come into like our spaces and be part of this culture. And it's not always reciprocal. You take from this culture and you don't give anything back to the people who created this culture. And that's where I get like all fucked up about it, you know, where I feel like this idea of like culture of vultures is real. And we always have these kinds of conversations about what is appropriation and how appropriation works and things like that. And I would say that, you know, the vast majority of people who are, you know, at least tuned in some way to pop culture will see and understand that like Black people shape pop culture, point blank period.
Absolutely.
In our language, in the fact that so many, you know, non-Black people kind of co-opt like Ebonics or African-American vernacular and say things like bae or dad ass or whatever. Like, these things come from Black people.
Language, fashion,
exactly.
Music, everything.
Yeah. And so culture vultures with respect to hip hop and Black art forms more generally are, you know, those who would see hip hop as like an independent thing from the culture and view it as a way to take and give nothing back. And I'm thinking about like the Post Malones and the Iggy Azaleas, you know. And I watched this really interesting video by it's called The Grapevine, and it was, the episode was on culture vultures. And like, I watched that after listening to this Black Girl podcast where they were talking about this episode of The Grapevine, and they talk about like hip-hop music like lowering the bar and allowing those people to come in. And then they kind of also talked about it in the context of like what other Black music forms exist, right? And part of that conversation was jazz music is largely like, you wouldn't, if you blooped into the world right now, you wouldn't know that jazz music came from Black people. Mm-hmm. You know,
and rock music and country music blues, yeah.
And you know, jazz that was once created by Black people literally, you know, was a Black art form. Now it's been completely, literally whitewashed.
Yeah.
Kenny G is like the jazziest jazz God. Person, right? So what I want to know is like, as a culture, how can we get to calculate this loss, you know? Mm. We don't get to, there's none of the beautiful gifts that jazz music was is being seen by Black people.
Mm.
And I feel like Black people's creations, our curations, our performances of jazz music to this day, right now, is not something that's actually benefited Black people, like right now, you know? And we'll never know what that looks like because it's so far gone. And so because we see jazz music, I see jazz music as like, holy shit, we don't want to do that with hip hop. You know, I want to keep hip hop Black because Black people in America still haven't gotten their 40 acres and a mule. Black people in South Africa are still experiencing, like, we're still having conversations of, like, how should we give land back to Black Africans? So it's like, there are so many things that Black people have been deprived of that I'm so protective of it because I feel like this might be the only thing that people recognize, and people still have a trouble recognizing that, you know, Black people create hip hop and that, like, there's some dissonance between like the communities that it comes from and the actual art form, and then like some sort of form of payment, reparation, something beyond like the Jay-Z's and the, you know, really famous people. But it's like as a culture.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think what you're saying is so important because I think a lot of times non-Black people, we try to conflate the argument that's being made again by saying, oh, you think that I shouldn't be able to enjoy Black music and that's ridiculous because it's art and blah, blah, blah. That's not what's being said.
Not at all.
Right? So what you're saying that non-Black people really need to hear is that Black people are and always have been at the forefront of, you know, music trends. Hip hop has swept the globe,
yes.
has changed culture all over the world.
Yep.
Black people have been leaders in not just entertainment and fashion, but also in social movements in so many different ways. And so if you look and you see that a group has so disproportionately contributed to humanity,
yes.
then they should be disproportionately
rewarded. Yes.
So you should see that reflected in status and wealth. And when you see that, again, not the exceptions, but when you see that as a group, it's the opposite, that Black people are disproportionately in poverty, experiencing violence, incarcerated, things like that, then you have to understand that something really violent is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going in and taking and not giving anything back to the people that are giving you so much,
yes,
you're contributing to this violence.
Yes. I want to say rest in power, Nipsey Hussle, because we didn't get to say that on this show. But as we're talking about like giving back to your community and recognizing that you're part of something more, I think the beautiful thing about hip hop is that that is, Black people are hilariously like typical, and that's like the thing. You got to show up for your community. It's a community. It comes from a people, not a person, but a people. And I think Nipsey was a really great representation of what that looks like. You know, how can we come out of poverty, not forgetting where we come from, investing in our own people, and then showing up for ourselves? I think that's the beauty of hip hop music, you know? And so back to that point of like, how do I keep, what do I want from everybody with respect to hip hop? I'm like, I want folks to like, I'm always excited to share, and I think I try to and educate people about like hip hop. And so I try to do that on my radio show. I play like strictly only like Black and brown hip hop artists that are women and femme identifying from Canada. Like this, the niches of hip hop are incredible.
Can I ask, Black and brown?
I've played a couple of Indigenous artists.
Okay.
A couple of Indigenous artists, a couple of Filipinx artists, and but they're predominantly Black.
Right.
Yeah. And that's like been my mission, essentially, is to just, I don't know, where else are we finding the opportunity to celebrate the contributions that Black women give in music that's outside of the Cardi B's? Like there's so much nuance, and that I'm playing stuff that's Canadian because I'm playing on a Canadian radio station, but like I also listen to a lot of other, you know, and we went to like LA 47 together. Like we are actively trying to like support those Black artists and like line their pockets and show up for them, which I think is a really important thing.
And I'm curious to hear more about protecting the culture, and specifically for you as a Black woman, I'm interested in how you want to protect the culture and also how you want to protect yourself. I know for me, sometimes it's been very upsetting to see ways that non-Black people are interacting with hip hop and in, you know, at shows or in those types of spaces. And so for you, of course, it's the harm is much greater. So I'm wondering, how do you protect yourself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A person that I know, she's a DJ, Safi Shan. She performs in Vancouver. I have a couple of other friends who are not in the hip hop world. They're techno heads, these two Black women. And I think it's just like showing up for them. Because I know that like when I have conversations with Black women who are in music, and I recognize that like they are like at the forefront of things too, right? Like, and there's a lot of visibility that comes with a lot of like, it can come with harm. It can come with so many other layers. Like, how do I protect myself is by going to shows with Black people or people who understand my politics or people, you know, like going out with people who I know appreciate the music and the culture like I do, and spending less time trying to go into spaces that I feel don't fully respect the culture. It's unfortunate because we live in such an anti-Black city, and there's not very many spaces for that. But you know, Softie Shan DJs at the Warehouse, the American, and literally has a queer femme Black hip hop nights. That's what she plays. Like,
incredible.
She literally just like plays music that she loves because she wants to play it. And I'm like, okay, so it's that type of shit that I want to like support. I want to like point to. I want to say we need more of that, because I don't think that a city like Vancouver has seen enough Black DJs playing Black music.
Absolutely.
And so I think there's that. I also have been in places, some Black DJs that I have been at shows will like play a song, let's say that they know is heavily laced with the N-word, and then turn this music down when the N-word comes up, and you can see all the people who are screaming the N-word around you. And that's just like, oh, there's egg on your face, like you thought. And that's funny as fuck, because I'm like, ah! But also I think it allows Black people to recognize that like they're being seen in these spaces where their music, the music that, you know, largely represents them and the experience that come from people who look like them, that they're understood.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So a lot of surrounding yourself with the people that you know get it and know share, like, the genuine love of not just Black music, but Black culture and Black people.
Yes, because they're linked together, right?
Like, absolutely.
It's so hard. I think when I'm out and about and I see so many people that are really eager to engage in Black culture, but don't really understand where the boundaries are.
Right.
That integrity piece that I was saying, like, it goes out the window, right? Like, I'm aware that, okay, now you don't have any integrity. I actually don't really want to associate myself with you because I know that you don't fully see me.
Yeah. And something you talk about a lot is having relationships with people,
mm-hmm.
and how important that is in terms of being able to know what those boundaries are.
Yeah.
And it's 2019. There's so much. Twitter is a thing. Google is a thing. You can go and be learning.
Yeah.
But then I think it's really important to be paying attention to how you impact the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even have to be a close friend. If you're at a show, you should be paying attention to who's around you and how your behavior is impacting them.
Yeah. And I think more to the point about just like being in public settings, like live shows or going to the club or whatever, I've felt extreme amounts of not necessarily violence, but feeling like my safety is threatened because I've been in crowds where people are screaming the N-word and I'm like, I'm just going to leave now.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's really scary because if you are around people who are saying the N-word and they don't understand that it's like really fucking awful as a Black person to hear them saying that because they don't understand, like, There's so many levels to the shit, but if you're saying the N-word, it shows me that you don't understand where the N-word comes from, because if you understood where the N-word came from, you would know that as a non-Black person, you shouldn't say it at all. Point blank, period. It doesn't matter if anyone says it on their rep record. It doesn't matter if you think it's cool. It doesn't matter if it's in a rap song. It doesn't matter. If you're not Black, it's not for you. And this argument of, well, then Black people shouldn't put in music is a fucking joke. The thing about music is that it comes from, like I said, people.
Yeah.
And Black people might be making that music for other Black people.
Yeah.
And I think part of that conversation we had just previously about recognizing where you are in proximity to that, crucial, right? Again, not saying that non-Black people shouldn't enjoy hip hop. Like, my partner is white and he like loves hip hop music. Does he understand the levels of the shit? Yes. Why? Because he's dating me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's just that simple. If I'm gonna keep you in my corner, you're gonna have to understand, like, these are the rules and regulations, and one of those things is respect for my identity and my culture.
Yeah, and I think that a huge way that anti-Blackness shows itself is in this entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, well, Black people are saying it's in the music, so I should be able to say it. Well, actually, Black people as a group could not be more clear about the fact that this is a hard boundary, that if you're not Black, don't say the word.
Yeah.
We're already, just by getting to listen to the music, the way it enriches our lives, we're getting so much.
Yeah.
And so this entitlement that, well, this one boundary that you have around it isn't okay.
Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder whether or not we actually care about Black people. Again, it comes back to that. It's like, if your desire to say this one word supersedes your ability to recognize that this word is harmful when you say it because you're not a Black person. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you're really enjoying hip hop or if you're just like, this is entertainment. And again, back to like, hip hop isn't all like cherries and blossoms and all these awesome things. Like, hip hop teaches us a lot about like how life is really fucking hard.
Yeah.
And there's violence that comes with those things. But I think, again, another part of recognizing when something is for you or where music is coming from is trying to kind of understand whether or not you're listening to something or consuming something because of how it makes you feel, like, quote unquote, cool, or recognizing when you're trying to listen to something or be part of something because you think it's like edgy, because it's like, you know, this idea of trauma porn and people kind of latching onto things that seem like they are like interesting because they're like bad. And I think people put on like Black culture as like a costume and then they get to take it off. And there's no one saying that you can't do these things. I'm not saying you can't do these things. I think, again, it just comes back to like, people are benefiting from the beauty of Blackness and Black culture and Black art and Black fashion and the things that, you know, Black people have created. Whereas the I'm hoping that people who are wearing these things and putting on these costumes and are at least recognizing where it comes from and not being so disassociated from those.
Yeah, and I think what people need to understand is that the reason why putting on signifiers of blackness as a costume, the reason why it makes non-black people edgier, is that black culture and black people are stigmatized mm-hmm. in our society because yeah. our society is very anti-black.
Yes.
And so you're thought of as being edgy because you're putting on a signifier that's stigmatized. But because you're non-black and you're not actually paying the price of that stigma,
yeah.
you're reaping the benefits of the quote-unquote coolness that comes with it.
It's the same thing with like white folks who wear dreads or yeah. There's just like the list is kind of endless, but that's totally it. It's like there are certain things, and we're talking about, you know, hair and all these and fashion, because like music and hip hop and this entire art form is connected deeply to like the like black people. And you mm-hmm. can't have this conversation without thinking about representations in hip hop and representations of black people more generally, and how when we represent ourselves in certain ways, we pay the price for it. But folks who aren't black do not when they do the same things. And I think just even recognizing that, it can be such a eye opener and also help you appreciate hip-hop music even more, because then you get to like listen to the music and be able to understand, like when people are talking about experiences in their life of trauma, you can, with a sense of integrity and a sense of humanizing somebody, an artist, you can do that. And I think that's what makes music so much more beautiful, when you're actually able to connect the lyrics with the person, with the experience, with the culture that that encapsulates all those things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that that is what's so beautiful about music, is the ways that it expresses our humanity mm-hmm. in ways that nothing else can.
Yeah.
And so by shutting out the social political context of the music, mm-hmm. we're really cutting ourselves off to the beauty and the transcendence fullness. And the humanity.
Yes, exactly. Totally. And like I said, if there's one thing that I want for black people to be like, like seen for the beautiful people, the beautiful creators, the beautiful storytellers that they are.
Yeah.
And I think you can really only do that. Like, I'm doing you a favor by telling y'all this shit, but I feel like you can only really do that if we take a step back, or y'all take a step back, non-black people, and recognize if you've benefited from or you've enjoyed black culture without really considering where black people fit in and how you fit in with your relationship to black people. I think you're missing out.
Yeah.
And as well, you're causing harm.
Absolutely. It's violent.
Yeah.
So I think this would be a great time to talk about somebody who is so active and vocal in protecting black people and black culture and black music. Do you want to talk about our woman of color of the week?
Yes. Her name is Scotty Beam. She is the motherfucking shit. She is a radio host and digital producer of Hot 97's morning show with Ebro in the Morning. And she's been one of the hosts for State of the Culture, which is a show on Revolt with like Joe Budden and Jinx and Remy Ma. She's the best person on this show.
Absolutely.
Arguably.
Hands
I mean,
down.
Jinx is a close second, but Scotty Beam is like
everything.
And she's also one of five black women on Black Girl Podcast. But what I love about her is that she's probably the most vocal champion, supporter, literal fighter for black women and girls mm-hmm. that's out there right now. And she's dedicated her life and her just like public identity and time to uplifting black people. On State of the Culture, she's made it her entire mission to ensure that we don't stop talking about how music and culture and hip-hop culture intersects with black women and black girls. And she's always centering our experiences without apologizing. And she shows us what it looks like to care deeply about her people. And it's evident in the way that she claps back and literally fights people, or at least threatens to fight people. and she does this all to make sure that black women and girls know that they're loved and that they're uplifted and that they're respected. So yeah, Scotty Beam is the shit. And she's fucking stunning.
She is. She got signed to Wilhelmina.
Yes. Like, duh.
Yeah. So follow her on Twitter. Follow her on Instagram.
Tell her she's gorgeous because she is. Tell her she's amazing. Listen to her on Black Girl Podcast.
Like, she has playlists on, I think, Spotify and Apple Music called Listen to Black Women, literally. You can find that on links on her Twitter. She's
Love her.
Love her. So maybe we can finish off by talking about some of the amazing gifts that hip-hop has given us in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's taught me how to take care of myself and how to, I mean, I've always known, I think, in some way, shape, or form, how to respect myself and trust myself. But I think the certainty in which so many lyricists put their words together only can like affirm who I am further. If I didn't have hip hop, I'm not really sure. And that's a lie. If I didn't have hip hop, I'm sure that I would be able to find my joy in other Black art forms. Like, I listen to a bit of soul and funk and R&B, but I love hip hop because of its like energizing, but also intellectual. It's just this big confluence of all the things that I am, you know? Yeah. And I also want to say, I love hip hop as well because I'm learning so much about Black Americans. I'm a Black Canadian and I don't have some of those experiences don't resonate with me. Mm. But I get to learn about what's happening to my brothers and sisters across down south. And that's important. I need to understand that. Black people, I truly believe in the Black diaspora. And so when I say my culture, my people, I'm saying people who look like me, people who come from the same places that I come from. And I love hip hop because it's such a, within its own art form, it's like the most all-encompassing. There's so many different niches of it. Like, I recently got into UGK, which is like, they've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I love the variety and the difference across hip-hop. There's Southern rap. There's West Coast rap. Mm-hmm. There's like New Jack Swing. There's so many types of hip-hop that exist. And I don't know, I'm always here for celebrating Black people and Black culture. And like, that shit's funky. Like, UGK, Southern rap is like the real trap music. Mm-hmm. And I love that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gift that I feel hip hop has given me is a level of confidence. Mm-hmm. And that energy of showing up exactly as you are and being more in touch with your own energy,
yeah,
than how people react to you.
Yeah, like the I don't give a fuckness.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's really important to say here, a note to non-Black people, it's showing up as yourself.
Ding, 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 ding. Say that shit again.
So it doesn't mean copying Black people. Like, you can't be unapologetically Black if you are not Black.
Boom, she said it.
So it doesn't mean copying the way Black people dress and talk and, you know, trying to copy their hairstyles. For me, what it is, it's when I listen to that music and I feel how it makes me feel in my body, there's like a power that I feel in my solar plexus, you know, a kind of like opening of my heart. I'm going to be a therapist about this and do all the body feelings.
Yeah.
And once you find that energy in your body, that's yours. Like, you can learn how to channel that.
Yes.
But you have to learn how to channel it by being who you are. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of non-Black people, and especially, I'm going to say it, like, a lot of us non-Black people of color, we've really leaned on copying Black culture as our personality, as the thing that makes us stand out or makes white people see us as having a personality outside of the sort of demure, you know, invisibility that white people can put on us. So I think hip hop has given us a gift in finding a way out of that and finding our power and in finding the confidence to show up as we are. But we need to figure out who we are.
Yeah.
Take the energy of hip hop, but don't copy the style. Don't copy Black people.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying is just that authenticity, right?
Yes.
Hip hop is like the space where there's the freedom to be who you are.
Yeah.
And to be as smart as you are, be as quirky as you are, to be able to like say things as fast as you can, to be able to rattle off something as quick as you, like, hip hop is that space. So I think like, and you see that in like the Busta Rhymes, and you see that in the difference between him and like the Commons or the, I don't fucking know, the Wu-Tangs, or like, there's just so much out there.
And I think we see it in the ways that Beyonce has been able to be a pop star like no other pop star before her. Because Black people historically have always been asked to transcend, to not be threatening to white people.
Exactly.
And so they had to play this game. And Beyonce, I think because of, she's in the hip hop generation.
Yes.
She's been able to be a pop star in this whole different way that's so much more powerful.
Oh my God. Like, even seeing her at like the homecoming special that she has on Netflix, the reason why I love that so much and why I love Beyonce so much and Solange, let's not get it twisted, is because of the unapologetically Blackness of it all. And she shows us time and time again, and don't get it wrong, Beyonce is hip hop as well.
Yes.
She's not pop, right? She shows us time and time again that she loves Black people.
Yes.
You can see it. You can hear it in the sound, in the music. And I think that to me is so invigorating and so affirming, because I think there's something super beautiful about seeing that unapologetically blackness.
Yeah.
About seeing that HBCU pride, about seeing, hearing, you know, the super trill, like H-Town fucking trap music at Coachella, played by a black woman, hiring black artists, hiring black dancers, like the bounds of hip hop know no limits. There's no, you know, we just keep on getting bigger and bigger and better. And I'm looking Pramila directly in the eye right now, because I'm like, it just, it's magical.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is.
So this, let's just say this has been part one of our celebration of hip hop. We've laid some foundations. We'll be talking about it a lot more.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.